What Is It Good podcast. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, welcome. Welcome, welcome to a very special episode. We're back with Mr. Luke Baker. Well, hold on, sorry. Welcome to the But It's a Good podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Callahan.
I'm your host, Zach Olson. And we have a very special episode and a special guest today, Luke Baker.
Hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes, you're back. So for those of you who listened, Luke was on, actually just, I guess it's like been less than a week at this point. This is dropping on March 13th. So you were on our Past Lives episode.
Yes.
And so if you listened to that, you kind of got a little preview of kind of what this is about. But Luke has a new movie coming out. Short film. Sorry, I guess a short film. Still a movie because it's a moving picture, but yeah. Short film. That is debuting. It's at this point is going to be in some festivals, but also March 24th at the Plaza Theater in Atlanta at 1 p.m. Correct?
Yep. Yeah, we're doing a little test screening for audiences and some of the cast and crew, and so it'll be a fun time. Nice premiering it in a theater.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. And so, real quick, I'm trying to think about how we can start. But I guess give us just kind of the brief overview, kind of the film.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of jump in from there.
Yeah. So the Space Between is a coming of age film that sort of starts out with two girls at the party named Charlotte and Aubrey. And they're both kind of in different situations and very different personalities. And they sort of take a chance on each other and decide to hang out and get away from this party. And, form a really great friendship that they can both learn and grow from each other. So it's a very exciting film.
Yeah, and we very, very graciously have had a chance to watch it early.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll definitely kind of dive into that. But I'd like to know, and then Zach, if you have any questions, just like jump on in. But sure. I'd like to know just kind of the overall... The experience of making it, is this, I feel like I've asked this before, but I very rudely have forgotten. Is this like your first kind of big short film? Mm-hmm. Is this, how many have you done? Kind of where does this fall for you?
Yeah. I would say I made two short films in college. One was a sort of a kind of a more of a comedy kind of thing. And then I decided to make a horror film, which was a very stressful process that I had liked too much, and it didn't come out very well. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take a break for a while. And so, yeah, this is, I guess, my first big boy short film, as you call it. So it's been pretty exciting. The process started a little over almost about a year, end of April and May, started working on it. So, it's come a long way since then.
Yeah, I made a short film in college that was like, I don't even know if it was 10 minutes, and producing it was very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine. I'd love to know, well, I have a lot of questions, but I guess I'll start at the very, very beginning, kind of where the idea kind of came from, because you wrote it, right? Mm-hmm. You wrote it.
Yeah.
All of that. And kind of what are you saying with this movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of funny. I've worked on this script. So I wrote it almost sort of towards the end of college and like up until right after college. So, you know, I had a lot of thoughts and, you know, feelings of, you know, just graduating college and figuring out what I wanted to do and, you know, a lot of soul searching that you find, you know, in college. So, you know, I kind of, you know, brought a lot of inspiration from that. And as well as, you know, I like to take a lot of inspiration. I really enjoy writing characters that are different from me and, but have aspects of me in there too. So it's, I mean, as a, you know, writer, it's, you always put aspects of yourself into the character, but it's also a good challenge to write someone different too, especially working with, you know, writing female characters too, you know, because it's always the classic, you know, short film. Oh, guy, I'm going to write about, you know, I'm a sad boy sitting alone. You know, that's always like a trope. But, you know, I guess for me, I find it, and it gives you a challenge to understand and get a lot of feedback from, you know, like I did a lot of feedback, you know, writing, you know, getting a little, I think that's a big part of it too, is getting feedback and, you know, asking actually just other women too, be like, would this make sense, you know, in certain situations?
Yeah, no,
and be like,
I mean,
no.
Doing your homework.
Yeah. And so back to your original question, but yeah, it sort of formed from that. And I put it away for basically 4 years because I wanted to produce it right after college. And I was like, I was going to work with my friends. It's like, oh, I'm going to make this happen. But it just, the things just didn't line up. And so I put it away for a while. And during COVID, I came back to it, tuned it up again, changed some things, and then put it away again. And then sort of last year, Corey, who is a alumni of this podcast, has been on the podcast too. We were talking, and we all worked together, and we were like, you know, let's try to make a movie, and you know, we kind of met and kind of went from there. So yeah, so that's sort of the process that sort of started from there.
Yeah, that's I love hearing like just how long it takes for these things to like actually be created, you know,
from conception to completion, because it's not always just a straight line, right? Sometimes things do get put on a shelf for a little while.
What was it like coming? What was it like coming back? Like what, four or five years later? Like what did the script? How did the script land to you then? Like 5 years later, 5 years from like post college, removed from college, versus being at the end of college.
Yeah, I think it was kind of interesting too, because a lot of, I would say, like a good chunk of the dialogue still stayed the same in the sense, like the overall, maybe certain words change and how it was said, but like the meaning was still there. And it was because you kind of look back and you're like, wow, it was very melodramatic back then in some ways, and you kind of, it helps, like especially with writing too, just putting something away for a while and coming back to it and be like, well, this scene doesn't necessarily really work, or this doesn't make any sense in this context, when, or these scenarios, it kind of gives you a sort of a bigger picture of it, and you can kind of look at it more objectively because you haven't just wrote it, or you're just in that mindset of it. So I wouldn't recommend writing something and then putting it away for 5-6 years. that's an easy way to procrastinate on it, but in some senses, and that's, I think I remember hearing from someone that you should always keep everything that you write, because you never know when you come back to it, even you think it's stupid or like it's kind of a dumb thing or it doesn't make any sense, the concept or the idea, you can always come back to and, you know, have a better idea for something in the future. So I always try to live by that in some way. So I just have random Google Doc stuff from 5-6 years ago and Microsoft Word things that are just like, oh, it's just so funny to look back on. So, yeah.
There was real quick, and then we can keep going. But I did this little challenge this year, but I was going to try and write a song every week, and I haven't. But I've written more than I have in a long time. And week two, I used music that I wrote when I was 18.
Wow!
And I just like never written words to it, and I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I don't even like really love the song that it became. Yeah. I think it's fine. I think it's like people seem to like it, but. You know, I'd had that music for 12 years and just would kind of come back to it every now and then. And I was like, I'm just going to put something to it. So you never know.
I still have a riff,
I have one more question.
Memorized, Hunter.
Go
from,
on.
From
oh, yes.
Back in like 2011. Whenever you're ready, we can make that happen.
So, Luke, real fast. Zach, I was like, Zach, you're going to join my band. This is like, we're like right out of high school. And I didn't really give him a choice. I was like, you're going to be my band. And there's a certain riff that I wrote. And Zach still knows it to this day. I don't even
know
it. I don't even think I know it. So one day, man, that's our golden ticket. Anyway.
That's what's going to make it big.
I know, probably.
That's right.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point. I had one more question, and then I can turn it over to Zach. But I was thinking about it, and I just wanted, because I've only written a couple of short stuff, you know, like I do one in college, but what challenges did you kind of run into writing like a 20-minute film, knowing that you have this finite amount of time? You can't do, you can't be Oppenheimer and do 3 hours. You can't be the Irishman or the Snyder Cut and do 4 hours plus. You have 20 minutes and you need to tell a complete story. What did you kind of like, how did that, how was that for you? Or did you just start writing without a time frame in mind and just kind of let it go?
Yeah, a lot of it, it actually was initially a lot shorter, but I felt like for this story, it like my point is that at the end of the story, the audience has to care about the characters and want to root for them. And short films are, I would say, almost harder now in a sense of the story-wise to tell a complete story in such a short amount of timeline and leave you with something impactful. In a way, and it's like, and it's, and I would say it was really hard because I ended up cutting down about 5 pages. It used to be 25 pages, which is around 25 minutes, but, and I'm really glad I did that because there is, you know, you can have a lot of bloat or some things, you know, one scene, you know, I ended up taking, you know, 2 scenes out because you have to kind of look back objectively too. It was like, does this move the characters forward? If it's no, then take it out. And I had like 1 or 2 scenes like that where it was just like, you know, moving point A to point B, you know, there's, it's fine. Cause like you, a lot of, you know, early filmmakers too run in, you have to do everything in real time. But if you notice a lot in films, people just teleport or it's just, you know, the time lapse just happens and you just accept it. May feel weird to you because you're just thinking like chronologically, like they have to do this, this, this. They have to get in the car and drive to this location and do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, it's just looking for those, you know, I would say every scene, do the characters change or does something happen in the relationship and it grows? Yes or no. And then that's an easy way to cut out, you know, some moments in there. And I think that was, I would say that was the biggest part of it too. And a lot of it, you know, I would say it's just, I don't know. It's hard to like tell that complete story, but that was a really good way of doing it that way.
Yeah. That's always been interesting because it's hard, you know, they say like a minute per page and to have just 20 minutes to tell the full story. I thought was interesting. The only thing that I was going to ask too, sorry, I know that I'm talking to I'm rambling. I want to get to the actual film in just a minute, but you've got in some festivals coming up, correct? And one at the time of this dropping has just happened. So what's that kind of been like in kind of that process? Yeah. And what's coming up,
so, I guess? Yeah, so applying for festivals has been a really interesting process because, you know, you have to have a lot of, you know, it's basically marketing your film in a sense. So, you know, you got to have a poster, a trailer, a preview, you know, stills, promotional images, a media kit. So there's a lot to add on top of it too. And like learning, you know, what festivals would fit my film, you know, because every festival's, you know, there's genre festivals, there's, you know, specific, you know, indie festivals or regional festivals to where it makes a lot of sense to where, you know, it's almost like you're looking to what festivals would be best for your film. So it's a lot of looking on Film Freeway and being like, that would, you know, it's like that film, you know, their goal or their, you know, curation of films really would fit my film very well, or that festival maybe not so much, or, you know, or if you know, you've been local to the area and know the area too, that really helps a lot. So it's doing a lot of research, looking at a lot of festivals, making sure, you know, those festivals are legitimate too, because there's some festivals that are just monthly or whatever, which, you know, those are fine for whatnot, but actually run a lot. So it's been a lot of just staring on there and doing a lot of reading and research, but it's been very rewarding when you get that, you know, that selection message. You're like, oh yes, you know, I finally made it and, you know, see your name on the list and things like that. So it's very exciting, and, you know, getting to meet other film makers and the people who made films in the process is really cool too.
Yeah. And at the time of this recording, you have two, and you'll know about a third tomorrow, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have one coming up soon. So hopefully crossing our fingers, and then hear a little bit more towards the end of the month. So very exciting.
That'll be awesome. That's super, super cool. And I, you know, as we kind of get into the movie, it was a lot of fun. I guess we can officially transition if you're okay. Sure. I mean, would you like to hear some reviews? The first reviews, yeah. I guess.
Let me know what you first impressions.
Yeah. We will ask, but is it good? It was a lot of fun for me watching this because I know a lot of names on the credits. This was very BP heavy film, and it's been fun because I'd come to work on Monday sometimes, and I'd hear you guys talking about, oh, we were shooting over the weekend, and so it was a lot of fun to watch it kind of come to fruition, and I really loved it. I really did. I thought it was great. From the get-go, I loved the like, I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for is, the like dichotomy of Charlotte, is that her name? Charlotte and Aubrey?
Charlotte and Aubrey, yeah.
In the first repertoire. Party scene, like, yeah, like in the party scene, just visually, it's like, wow, these people don't go together in the slightest. Yeah. But I loved like their journey. And we'll get into spoilers in a minute because I want to hear Zach's first thoughts. But I loved their journey. And there were parts where I had a big smile on my face and was really loving it. And there was one part where I, and this is a positive thing, but I like wanted to crawl out of my skin. I was like, oh, I can't watch this. I can't watch this. I can't watch this. which I think is a testament to it. I loved it. I really did love it. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was fantastic. Which we'll dive in a bit more in a few minutes. Yeah. Zach, please, your first thoughts. Because Zach's very unbiased. Zach doesn't know you. Zach doesn't know all the BP people.
I don't know most of the BP people, so here's my unbiased review. I thought everyone in the film did a wonderful job. I was really drawn to the way certain shots were framed. So I think it's like after the party, they're like, let's go, you know, let's get out of here. And they're sitting by a lake looking out at the water. And the framing of their conversation, I thought it really stuck out to me as, you know, it was really well done. The story, how these two people who, like Hunter said, seem like polar opposites, but they, you know, find a lot in common. And God, it felt like a theme that I pulled out of it was like not wanting to get stuck. Like it's this transition from like childhood to adulthood, right? This coming of age story, and you know, seeing the urgency of like not wanting to get stuck in this like monotony of adulthood, right? Like let's just go, let's just get out of here and go right now. We can escape, right? I don't know. I thought it was awesome.
I was thinking of because we just touched on past lives. There's like this inherent struggle. Maybe this is the space between. They're in between. they're in between like kind of childhood and adulthood because honestly, when you're in college, you're still a kid.
Yep.
And when you get out of college, you're kind of still a kid, but the world doesn't see you like that anymore.
Sure.
And so you kind of have to learn to be like, I guess I'm not. And, you know, like I'm 30 and I still feel very much like a child in some senses. But yeah, like so we can go spoilers. When we cut to like after the first party scene, we kind of cut into where she's like throws the rock or whatever. And she's, you know, she's going over to her house. That whole sequence, man, I loved their chemistry. It felt so good to watch in the sense of it felt super natural and it felt real and it felt, it felt like they, were both kind of a, like a safe haven for each other. You know, they have that whole first scene at the lake where, Aubrey's really, she's having a tough day, you know,
trauma dumping.
And it was funny because I had a thought where I was like, they just met, right? And then I thought, oh, that actually kind of makes it easier to trauma dump. Like, that's almost an easier person to just like, here's all my shit. Please just take it. But like, when, first off, they do great accents. Her French accent was, I was dying. I thought it was fantastic. But that scene I really loved, and it really felt, and then like their really awkward goodbye.
That was so good.
I was like, during that shot, I was like, I want you to be as awkward as possible. I said, please make it the most uncomfortable thing.
Well, they took that direction and they ran with it for sure. it was awkward.
But then to cut to them both like walking away with a smile on their face, I was just like, this is, I love this. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
she left her own party. I was like,
like, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was, you know, like I loved the one girl just like talking. It was about nothing when she was listening. Oh. And you could just tell like
she was great. And it's funny, fun fact on the thing, that was all improv. So it's funny. Both of the actresses knew each other. They went to college together. And they were like, I was like, honestly, I said, just pretend like you're the most annoying person ever talking about whatever. And I was like, you're just going to be so disinterested. And she just, we had so many takes that we just had to cut because it was so funny. We had like, she just went off and just like, you know, did like the classic, you know, just talking to a brick wall type person.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome. Yeah,
and that was such a surprising scene that, you know, wasn't really, you know, initially meant for that, but written down specifically like that, but turned out on set that, you know, even better than what I even came up with.
Yeah.
That can happen. I do want to say, I love the improv scene, like I loved what that was, you know, where Aubrey's kind of bringing Charlotte at, like, out of her comfort zone and like pushing you're talented. You know, I think it's really powerful when you find a relationship that brings the best of you out and kind of pushes you forward, kind of pushes you towards who you're supposed to be. So I loved that. But I got to tell you, dude, when Charlotte was like just starting, I felt like I was watching Scott's Tots on The Office, and I was like, I can't watch this.
I'll say that if I were to like affiliate myself with one or the other, I would say I'm more aligned with Charlotte. And showing up to someone else's improv performance and being asked to partake would be a nightmare for me. So yeah, when that started, I was like, oh no. But she really, you know, the evolution happens right before your eyes in that scene, right? Where, you know, she really comes out of her shell and that scene's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the framing and the direction of it and the execution on her part of that first little like stammer, I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I was like, but it worked so well. I was like, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
Because it went on just long enough to make me really uncomfortable. And I was like, oh no, please God. But I thought it was great. And I really loved, like Zach was saying, like in that scene, it happens as you're watching, and the culmination of, you know, like, what do you want? Mm-hmm. And for her, you know, it kind of becomes this very surreal, and it's just to matter. I loved that. I thought that was awesome. And then we have this switch where she's the one now who's like, let's go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it worked very, very well. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I think the journey for these characters, in which it seems to have gotten across with you guys, that the way I look at it is, you know, they're almost having an inverse growth of each other. So, you know, Aubrey from the outside is, you know, very personable, you know, somebody who can talk to anybody, has a lot of friends, but not like really like true connections with anyone.
Right.
But, you know, she's the person that's like always great. And, you know, she has, her growth is large, but now what she wants to do is center herself. And it's almost like not retracting, but like focusing more on what she's looking for and what, you know, specifically she wants in life, because she finds those empty relationships, you know, obviously, you know, she has perfectionist issues and everything like that, but she's looking for those genuine connections. With Charlotte, obviously, she's more reserved, and obviously I wrote a lot of inspiration of myself, because I, you know, I think I relate more with Charlotte in the sense of, you know, I'm more reserved and first thing, you know, she's very, I wouldn't say, you know, she's very wound tight, you know, and she's very short diffused to like, you know, shame people off, because she's protecting herself essentially. And so they kind of help each other, you know, Charlotte does the, you know, the classic, you know, breaking out of her shell and realizing she's talented and, you know, can trust people and make connections with a woman and have a good time. And, you know, so they're almost like complementing each other by helping each other in different, but similar paths.
Yeah. So. And go on, Zach, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then the realization at the end, or maybe it wasn't a realization, but it was definitely when it was spoken of, like, you know, you make my life bigger than it otherwise would be, you know, and I want to do the same for you. I don't know. It was just it all came together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a filmmaker's goal should always be to like convey their message in a way that's accessible for the audience. And I think your job does a really good job of that. If we're getting the message, and I think we are, you know, so I don't know. I just thought it was really well done.
Yeah, and kind of to that same point, I thought when they finally, like, they kiss and they take that step to kind of a bit more than friends, it didn't feel like it felt earned, you know, like it felt like it was, like, the natural progression.
Right.
And it didn't feel like some, like, wait a second, why are, you know, it felt like I was like, you better kiss her, okay, kiss her.
So
I loved it, but also more technically speaking, I thought it was very well made too. Like, I think you guys did an incredible job. You can give Corey, you know, our compliments. Yeah. It looked great. The direction was great. The framing was great. Mm-hmm. Even little things, and I don't want to sound like I was like, you know, with like a microscope, but like there was one little thing, and I thought, oh, I'm glad that's in there. I'm glad that worked. And it's at the end where they're walking down that street. And they walk past a law firm or something, and you see like the name of the place in the window, and they're talking, and they kind of just passed it, and you cut to like another setup, and it works. They're the window is still behind them, and for some reason I was like, oh yes, I'm glad somebody knew that was that where they needed to be. For some reason it made me so happy. I was like, perfect. They're paying attention. It was great, man. It was great. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I have to definitely give props to Corey Grispo. He was the DP on there, and we worked a lot really in tandem. You know, he helped a lot produce for me and really worked a lot of workshopping the script and, you know, a lot of it too, especially, you know, going through the shot list and making everything, you know, work in some of the ways. 'Cause, you know, like that whole scene of, which is, so those shots at the lake, which I just love, and it, everything worked out perfectly. 'Cause so where we shot that was in a lake outside Lawrenceville. Like, I literally was, you know, just researching it on Google Map. I'm like, this is the perfect spot. There's a great lake. And like, we went there and we found, like, it was just the stars have aligned for that whole situation to make it look great. Like, I'm still amazing how we were able to pull it off, but you know, because initially, like, I wanted, so I had inspiration from Moonlight. They have that scene where they're sitting at the, you know, on the water, you know, like, but right before he teaches them how to swim, and they have this sequence where they're sitting there. So that was like my inspiration from it. But everything was shot from the water, and if you just see them just from the, you know, side there, but, you know, sort of Corey came up with this idea. He was like, why don't we just do this shot? It's called French Over. So we can just see, you know, the more of the landscape and then more of like them, you know, kind of gives a unique situation of, instead of just, you know, the visual of the open water and the openness of it and, you know, kind of the tightness that everyone has, or like the, you know, standoffishness, because you don't really see anyone's face. You're kind of, you know, when you're talking to someone new, you know, you're kind of like looking past them in a way. And I think it really worked out great for that, and really hammered that feeling home. And a big part of that too is I wanted colors. I'm a big color person. So, you know, I'm, especially in the scene beginning, it's more blue because it's cold, and you know, we shot a lot in the cold, and a lot of it, you know, as progressing, gets slightly warmer throughout as they're, you know, building their relationship. And everything was, I worked with a colorist too, which kind of helped me with the look, Nadir Bassett, and he's a great colorist and DP, and he really kind of worked with the look on what I was looking for. You know, I gained a lot of inspiration from Euphoria and how they use a lot of colors and a lot of different film looks. So, you know, I really thought a lot of how this look and how colors would, you know, engage the audience in that way.
Yeah, it looked phenomenal, and it made sense story wise. Like the shifts and everything kind of helped tell the story. You know, I feel very proud to call you guys my friends and coworkers, and I'm really excited for this. I really am. It's really awesome. It really is. I mean, we can keep going and going. We have it's already been like 30 minutes, but. Now we got to go to Every Movie Sucks and find some really bad reviews for your movie. Oh, so if it's cool with you, Zach, give us, I mean, if you can, just wrap it up, like your thoughts, and then I'll do the same, and then we can officially ask the question, if that's cool. Also, Zach, you had some really wonderful lighting going on there. You looked very warm. I don't know what it was. Like, it froze for a second, and I was like, that looks great. Just wanted to tell you that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Final thoughts. I mean, I've said, let me try to say something new. I mean, the film is wonderful. What I was really drawn to, I think you did a really good job directing. I was really impressed by, like, the acting. I've watched a lot of short films that the acting feels very, like, walk over here and then do this. But it all felt supernatural. It all felt very cohesive, and I don't know, this is really well put together, and the story is really well done. If you ask me if it's good, I will say yes.
There you go. You have one yes. You get two yeses, and then you get to go to Hollywood. that's something that we actually didn't touch on, but the performances were really, really great. I don't know where you found them or how you cast them. You can touch on that in a second. But yeah, man, I thought it was, I really, really loved it. I really did. And I loved what the film was trying to say and what it did say and kind of the message it was giving. I loved the chemistry, the relationship. It very much felt like you knew what you were making and kind of it knew like what it wanted to be. And also kind of developed kind of organically, like, you know, based on what you were saying. Looks great. It felt all, one of my biggest, and you can ask Zach, one of my biggest compliments for a film is that it all feels like it's on purpose. And this all felt like it was on purpose. Like even the shots of just the lake kind of interspiced between the conversation, it all felt on purpose. So I loved it. I really did. And like I said, I'm really proud of all you guys. And I really am excited to kind of see what it does at the festivals. And to answer the question of, but is The Space Between good? It is. It is very good. Very good. So yeah. And Luke, you can wrap us up. You can wrap us up. Final thoughts, you know, kind of where you're hyped about it. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I made it past the test. I'm certified.
Oh, yeah. Well, certified this is, good. You know, this
you
is
a little stamp on
this
on
is
there.
Yeah, there you go. this is the end all be all for yeah, movie opinions.
That's right.
This is this podcast right here.
Yeah, but once again, thanks for having me. It's been a great discussion and excited to share with other people because it really has been a long process and a lot of fine tuning over the past, 8 months now. So it's been a long process. You know, I like to thank, like you touching on the actors too. You know, it was a long audition process in the sense of going through a lot of people. I think I had like 800 submissions. So it was a lot of people to go through.
Wow.
On these roles. Nuts. And yeah, it was very, very nerve wracking, but I found truly great actresses, Piper Verbrick who played Charlotte and Sam Clifford who played Aubrey. She did, they did fantastic, especially working with them too, on a highlight, just, prepping them before the before we shot, my biggest emphasis on, don't worry about, what's on the page and what's on the words, just worry about the relationships and what you guys feel. And, throughout that, and they had a lot of, great emphasis and notes and, really, especially, for other filmmakers out there, just let your actors explore and try new things and give them the permission to fail and let them try things. And, if something's not quote to write, I'd say your script isn't the Bible or it isn't verbatim. I think you can come, set's a really powerful thing where you can be in that situation and come up with something that is worlds better than you could ever thought of. I can't thank them enough again. And they did amazing performance. Obviously the crew was amazing too, working with Corey, Amaya, Melissa. There's so many people. My friend, he came down from college that I work with. He flew down from DC to come work on the film. So I got to give a shout out to Ryan
awesome.
Too. So he really helped out. He's a DP up there too. And, so many countless others that made this possible. So it's a great journey. I can't wait to share it with everybody else.
Yeah, we're very excited. We're very honored that you let us kind of get a sneak preview. And
yeah,
thanks again for coming on, man. It's been a lot of fun. Here's to many more, hopefully.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
But is it good podcast? Yeah.